Amen. I said He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Get joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't go back.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Come on now, this means.
This means war.
I said this means.
This means war.
Sing it again at the top. I got joy in my soul, God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
I said, this
means war.
Come on, we're gonna go to war this morning. Storm in the rain, been storm in the rain, but the blood still stays the same. Whatever's going wrong, my war clothes are on. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't go back.
This means war.
I said this means.
This means war.
You know. Just say amen. This morning, sing it with me. I've been the storm, the storm and the rain, but the blood still stays the same. Whatever's going wrong, my world close around. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't go back.
This means war.
I said, this means war. Again.
I plead
the blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
There's victory in His blood.
I plead the blood.
Sing it again. I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Oh, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
One more time. I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Family this morning. Come on, get ready to sing it with me. You can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
I said you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't. You can't,
I plead the blood.
Power. Trouble. I start to get the victory over the things that the enemy has thrown at me. You know, when I think about what I'm going through, I told you last week, I take my eyes off the master. But when I start to think about Jesus, yes, and what he's done for me, one more time. When I think about Jesus, come on, let me have it now. Come on now, church. Let's go to church this morning. Hallelujah. Sing it with me. Here we go. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free. I can dance,
dance, dance, dance.
Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free. I can dance,
dance, dance, dance, dance, dance, dance all night.
Yeah, I'm gonna dance. You ready? We're gonna clap our hands. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free.
I can clap, 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 clap all night.
Oh yes, I can. Jesus, I gotta shout. Yeah. I said I gotta shout. I said I gotta shout, church. I said I gotta shout. Shout, shout. I gotta shout. I gotta shout, shout. Shout, shout. Oh, shout. Yeah. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free. I can shout,
shout, shout, shout, shout, shout, shout, shout all night.
Oh yeah, hallelujah. Sing it with me. Here we go. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me.
When I think
we're gonna
about
shout
Jesus,
again.
How he set me free. I can shout, 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 shout all night.
Yeah, come on.
Jesus, how he set me.
I can shout,
I can shout, 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 all night.
All night, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm gonna shout one more time. When I think about Jesus,
what he's done for me. When I think about
you gotta
Jesus,
shout it,
how he set me free. I can shout, 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 shout all night.
One more time, let's dance. victory in our praise this morning, church. Come on, bless him this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Who is like the Lord in all the earth? Matchless love, beauty, endless worth. For nothing in this world can satisfy. Cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Let's sing it again. Who is like the Lord in all the earth? Matchless love, beauty in this world. For nothing in this world could satisfy. Cause Jesus, you're the cup. Sing it with me, your presence. Treasure of my heart.
Treasure of my heart and my soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrong. Future days to come.
Let's sing.
Your presence is heaven to me.
Oh, your presence.
Your presence is heaven to me.
One more time.
Treasure of my heart.
Is he your treasure this morning? He should be. Because in your
weakness
he's
merciful.
Yes, amen. He's came to redeem our past.
Redeemer,
he redeems our future. He's the holder of our future days. Oh, that makes me just want to bless him this morning and sing.
Your presence.
oh Jesus.
So we call on by his name and we sing, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me, oh. Nothing in this world could satisfy, 'cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Sing, nothing. Nothing in this world could satisfy, 'cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me.
Stay right there for a minute. Sing it again.
Your presence, yeah, is heaven to me.
Come on, we're telling our Heavenly Father. We're telling our Heavenly Father all together.
Your presence is heaven to me.
There's nothing like His presence. Sing it.
Your presence is heaven.
Here we go, last time.
To me.
One more time, your presence is heaven.
Your presence,
hallelujah,
is heaven.
Sweet Jesus.
To me. so we're singing, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh,
presence.
I worship you, Jesus. Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. We recognize that you're here. You said where we gather, there you are. But God, we also know that there's different levels of the anointing and different levels of your presence. Holy Spirit, know that we want you to fill this room in a way that we've never experienced you before. Even as the prophets have declared that the ceiling would open up and gushes of living water and the anointing and the power of God will be released in this place. God, our hunger is not after church. Our hunger is after you. We long, Jesus, to be near you. We long to experience you. We long, Jesus, to know you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 I worship you, Jesus. As a person here, you're having stomach problems. Let me explain what it is. It's like your stomach gets sucked up into your esophagus. And it pushes down, and it's almost like every time you're eating, it's almost a struggle. Every single time you eat, you feel like your stomach going right up your esophagus. God is going to heal you this morning in the name of Jesus. If that's you, I'd like you to come right on up front. There's also, I think there's more than one, but there's one specific one right here. Right here, dead center in your chest. If I place my hand right on my chest right here, you feel pain. It's almost at bone level. It's not, or just barely underneath bone level, you feel that pain in your chest. I'd like you to come right out, come right up front right now. There's also another individual on your right ankle. If I took it from ankle bone to ankle bone and just did a line, that's where the pain is in your ankle. And Rich, I'm believing this is for you, buddy. Right underneath your, hallelujah. I release the anointing right now to Rich. And I command right now, even thank you for the doctor's attempt. But God, we declare right now miracle working power underneath, Lord Jesus. Underneath, Lord God, that knee in Jesus' name. I speak strength reconstruction by the Holy Ghost. I call forth out of heaven to earth right now the power of heaven and the demonstrated anointing of heaven. God, you'll manifest reality in Jesus' name. Are those other folks up here? Hallelujah.
If my belly can't deal with it, I literally had depression in my stomach. And I went and had one of those upper scopes on, and they told me that I have triple the amount of acid that I'm supposed to in my stomach.
So are you ready? Yes. Jesus is going to heal you right now. How do I know that? Because God doesn't reveal if he's not going to heal.
In the name of Jesus, I command right now the acidity of the stomach to balance. Lord, I speak right now even to the stomach that would even have the sensation of going up into the esophagus. I command right now, Lord, that the whole stomach area and esophagus will be healed. And Lord, any lesions, I command you to go. Now, God shall not have another problem in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Honey, that's your chest, isn't it? Put your hand right on it. You ready? I command right now, pressure. In the name of Jesus. Pain, I command you to come off. Now, in Jesus' name. Can you feel any more pain? I want you to be honest. Can you feel it? When you touch it? Lord, I command now all sensitivity to be gone, even at skin level. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give God praise this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you are here. You love people. God, you heal us. Lord, if there's any other sicknesses or diseases in the room, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over sickness and disease. God, we know it has no right in the child of God, because if we're saved, we can also be healed. So in Jesus' name, with the same faith you will receive salvation, we drive disease out of our life in Jesus' name. We drive sickness out of our life in Jesus' name. Someone's having jaw problems from jaw to jaw, and it's in your teeth. I command right now even reconstruction of the jaw. I command thickness of the bone. Lord, I rebuke right now, Father, even deterioration. And I command reconstruction in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you care about every single need that's in this place. God, we thank you that you're called our Father. We love you, Father God. Thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. Thank you that you are Jehovah Nissi, our protector. Thank you, Jesus, that you are Jehovah Jireh. There's nothing that we don't need that you cannot provide. And today, Jesus, we honor you and we bless you, Father, with the opportunity to be in your presence at this time. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, amen. Why don't you take a few moments of time and go welcome somebody you don't know this morning. Shake someone's hand that you do not know. Don't just sit down. Turn around and say hello to somebody. Shake hands with somebody. Hey, Dale White, how are you? Somebody. Oh.
I do. 'Cause I can't live.
Hallelujah. We have some announcements for you.
Hey, I want to invite you to Pastor Spencer's 50th birthday gala. It's going to be held at the Harbor Hotel in Watkins Glen, and it's $60 per person. Space is limited, so please RSVP on the link below.
Grace and peace, people of God. I'm here to let you know this, that we have a class designed especially for you. It's called Catch the Vision. You want to take part in this class because this class will show and tell you how this church came into its being. Yes, we are affecting thousands of people's lives. And you need to know the history behind your church. You need to understand that this class will take place every first and second Sunday of every month in classroom number 1. Meet us there in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. A lot of things going on in the house. We want to make sure that you're participating with it. This is Pastor Rhonda. How many of you love Pastor Rhonda? Amen. We want to welcome all of the guests here this morning. We want to thank you for coming out here. We know it's brave when you go to a church for the very first time. We just want to say thank you so much for coming out. We encourage you to come 3 times. Why 3? Well, because the first time you might be scared to death. Second time you're getting a little bit more acclimated. By the third time you're just going to be all right. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. We're going to mess you up so you can't go back to the quiet church anymore. That's our goal. So you're going to get used to heaven. We want to welcome all of our live stream family. Let's give our live stream family a hand clap this morning. We know many of you have been watching by live stream for years. You've just never made it to the building, or you have made it to the building. We won't say anything else beyond that. We'd love you to be in the building 9 or 11 every Sunday morning. But even though you're not, we want you to know you're part of our family. And today we want to offer you a free gift, all those that are on our live stream family, and that is we'd like to get you a His Tabernacle decal for your car or wherever else you'd like to place it, and we'd like you to send us an email, histab@histabernacle.com, with your address. We'd love to get you this gift so that you can look at it, and every time you do, you're praying for the house, you're praying for the vision, and because you're part of the you're part of the house and part of the vision and on live stream. So thank you for being our online campus. We love you very much.
Amen. God is so good. There is nothing better than the presence of Jesus. He never fails us. He's the solid rock under our feet. He goes before us, and he's even got our back. He's awesome, awesome, awesome. I really pray today that there's a spirit of revelation that comes across this place, just real revelation knowledge of how awesome our God is. Is it okay if I do a quick mom talk on finances this morning? Every good mom talk starts with the word of God. So let me read this scripture to you first. It's Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. And it says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. You know, as the body and the family of Christ, our finances are so important. In this economy and in these times, the church should not be looking to our government, should not be looking for a bailout or a handout. The church should be the ones that are flourishing in every single season. So in that, we need to be wise stewards of our money. Wise stewards, as long as we are spending 100% of our income, okay, this is the mom talk part. My kids have all been raised in this. As long as you are spending 100% of your income, you're like the second portion of this passage, which says another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. If you're spending 100% of your income, it doesn't matter how much you make. You're never going to get any richer. So family, we need to start with a seed of obedience to God's word. First of all, 10% is our tithe. It is holy and it is the Lord's. And when we give and obedience to God's word, we will grow all the richer. You know what? You can argue all you want with me. I've lived this principle. I've watched this principle work not only in my life, but in my children's lives. And I've seen it in your lives. If we are being obedient with that seed and we are giving our tithe. Now, even more than that, the word of God calls us to be a good steward. So not only should we be giving 10% to God, we shouldn't be living off of 100%. Live off of 80% of your income. 80%. And then 10% goes into a savings fund for breakdowns, for tires that need to be replaced, for oil changes, for hair appointments, whatever it is. And then 10% goes to God. And in that, it doesn't matter if famine or crisis or anything comes. The children of God will walk in blessing when we are good stewards of our finances. Now, I know maybe you can't be there tomorrow, but start somewhere. Stop using the excuse that that's unrealistic. It's not feasible. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. And the best of the best way to live is 70. 10, 10, 10. 70% of your income is what you spend. 10% goes into investment for your future. God tells us to consider the ant who stores up. We see in Joseph where he stored up in the 7 good years for the 7 bad years of famine. So that 10% goes into deep savings, into an account you can't touch. 10% goes into the savings for breakdown, and 10% off the top goes to God because it is holy unto him. Let me read that passage one more time. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. So family, body of Christ, let's move to a place of true wealth and increase, and let's start with a seed of obedience in our tithe, which is holy unto the Lord. So this year, make it the year where we become good stewards of God's finances in his house. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration over our finances. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, now remember at the beginning, this seed of obedience part, the seed of obedience part, Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey. Now here's the promise part. I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithe that is holy to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, go over and click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Trail. I'm singing on his will. He's attacking every day. I'm watching while I'm praying. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
This means war.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Oh, this means.
This means war.
Been storming the rain, but the blood still stains the same. Whenever it's going wrong, my war clothes are on. I might be this means.
This means war.
I said, this means war.
This means war.
Yeah, this means war.
This means war.
Come on, plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Power in the blood.
I plead the blood.
Wonder working power.
I plead the blood.
In precious blood of the Lamb.
I plead the blood.
Would you be free? Yeah.
I plead the blood.
Because of the power of the blood.
I plead the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
I plead the blood.
Cause this means.
This means war.
I said this means.
This means war.
Oh, one more time. This means.
This means war. This means war.
Hallelujah. My wife and I are glad to be back. We were in Massachusetts last week and preaching at a church up near Boston. And I told them that I don't like to leave. And they said, well, tell your congregation thank you very much for sharing. And we were able to leave a deposit there, I believe, that will either enhance or destroy the church. No, I mean that. They're either going to move forward or they're going to die. It's one way or the other. And that's the neat part about the message that God gives, because we all have choices. Turn to someone and say, you have a choice to live or die, to succeed or to fail. It is in your hands, not God's. This morning, this is a message I have never preached before. And to be honest with you, I've been crying out to the Lord since 5 a.m. this morning, specifically on this message. And I'll tell you why. Because in the short time that I've been studying and working on this for about the last 2 or 3 months, God has revealed things to me about this whole topic that has really transformed my life. My concern is not being able to convey it properly. My concern is not being able to have you get this. Because I know what it will do to your spiritual walk with God. I know what it will accomplish for your walk here on this planet. So I'm praying this morning that you are going to have revelation knowledge. I read this verse in our prayer before we came out with the pastors. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 1. If you'll turn there real quickly with me. I just want to read this prayer to you, because I'm believing that this is going to happen in your spirit this morning. It's found in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches? Everybody shout riches. Of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. Holy Spirit, you know that I am just a vessel that you're to work through. And I want you to know that today I surrender. And that I ask that you, even as you work through the apostles in texting, in writing the text, that Father, you too will do that in my spirit. That, Father, you will take over, and God, that your word will be made clear. Lord, we need an anointing in this place, and the wisdom and the understanding and the revelation knowledge, that, Father, we may understand the greatest seed you have given us while we're on this planet. God, I ask that this will be more than just another sermon, but, God, there will be revelation. And that, Father, it will transition our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The very first text I'd like you to turn to is the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I'm going to teach today. Then my goal is to be around 35 minutes. No, you need to understand, I'm really trying to tether myself. This message is no way you're going to get this in 1 week. You're going to be here next week.
because next week is the final of this, which you need. This message on the greatest seed that we have, for this is the year of? This is the greatest kingdom seed that God has entrusted us with outside of Jesus. And it's called time. Time is an amazing revelation. Time is so powerful. The Bible declares in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. The King James Version says it like this: redeem the time, for the days are evil. You see, there is a redemption of time. Time is so powerful because we're all living in it. Brother David in the back, I want you to know the Lord told me to pray for you this morning. I've been praying for you. I was praying for you at 5:30 this morning, man of God. All the way in the back with the yellow shirt, Brother David. I've been praying for you. I pray for you at 5 o'clock this morning that God's going to do something powerful in your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast stones, cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. This morning, there's something that every single one of us will never escape in our entire life. And that is time. Every one of us are tethered to this reality, this kingdom truth, this kingdom seed, that every one of us, no matter who you are, whether you're a billionaire or a beggar on the street down in Haiti, every one of us have been given one thing that has continuity. Every one of us have been given one thing, no matter where you live, what you do. Every one of us only have 24 hours in a day. The most powerful and expensive gift that God has given us is this thing called time. It is the governor of your life. I'm talking literally. Every single one of us are absolutely governed by time. I just said this morning that I'm going to preach around 35 minutes. What is that? That is time. You know what's amazing is some of you chuckled. Thank you. But what happened was this, is that you recognize that usually I take more time in the preaching of the word. Every one of us got up this morning at what time? Every one of you came to church at what time? Every one of you work at what time? Every one of us are owned by this thing called time. It is the greatest seed that God has given us outside of Jesus Christ. Yet, amazingly, it is the one thing that most people do never do intentionally. Time is so powerful because God himself, in the design of time, made it so that you and I could live a life that was governed by the short period that we have to live. When we wrap ourselves around this thing called time, we start to recognize that God, in his infinite wisdom, stepped out of eternity to create something called time here on the invisible plan and kingdom of God so that you and I could have redemption. Without God stepping out of eternity and into the reality of time that we have on this planet right now, we would already all be damned. God is so powerful and he is so wise because he has created something that is actually a divider from eternity. I need you to hear that. Eternity is time in and of itself. It is immeasurable. It has never begun. It will never end. But God desired to create a divider on the visible kingdom that he designed. I want to remind you, there are three kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven, which is invisible. The kingdom of hell, which is invisible. And God created the kingdom of this earth to be visible so he could show his will. And when he did that, if he did not stop eternal time for this planet, then we would be in a position that every mistake that we would have made would be eternal mistake and not temporary. Holy Spirit, if you don't do this, it's never going to happen. Time is so powerful because it is literally measurable. I love this. As of May 2010, the smallest time interval uncertainly is direct measurements in the order of 12 autoseconds. It's also called the Planck. Anybody ever heard of the term Planck? P-L-A-N-C-K. It is actually a measurement of time. You know, we think of time in our mindsets. We think of it as seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years, decades, centuries. We think of yesterday. We think of today. And we think of tomorrow. All those, every one of those are wrapped up in something called time. Our entire life is all about time. Yet, what's amazing is that God, in his power, even created below the second. I'm talking 2010. They were able to do this thing called the Planck. 15, oh my, I want to make sure I get this right. 15 autoseconds, 12 autoseconds is the lowest amount of time or the shortest amount of time that has ever been measured by humanity. I sit back and I say, I cannot even fathom what that means. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus is going to come back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But an autosecond is even quicker than that. For an autosecond starts dealing with the realms that most of us always tried to abandon in high school. We did not want to take physics. Yet all of this thing called time, literally, every one of us with this seed every single day are planting not just for here, but for eternity. We waste time. Where did the time go? Time comes and time goes. All of a sudden, you recognize that years have passed and months have passed. And all of a sudden, how many adults have said it? Where have the years gone? You see, God created time in Genesis chapter 1. I'd like you to turn there with me real quick. Genesis chapter 1, I want you to see that God is the one who created time. God is the one who created the moments that you and I get the opportunity to live within. God created the confines of this measurable life. Turn to someone and say, life equals time. The fact is your life is all about time. God created this for you and I so that we could measure how and what type of harvest we are going to have for the future. Yet most of us ignore time. We don't latch a hold of time. We don't arrest time. But we allow time to pass without grasping and gripping that everything we do inside of time is literally producing our harvest for the future. So those who do not lasso the time of their life, then they end up living a life of death and not life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Right there, the start of time. Up to this point, there was never time. To this date, there were not time, as you and I conclude. Even the brilliant minds who can break down the systems and break down down the most minute motion of time. Up to that point, time did not exist as you and I understand. But God started to devise a plan because I love his infinite wisdom. I love the fact that he loves us even more than we love ourselves. Can I hear an amen? And that he knew that Adam and Eve were going to betray him. And he already had the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. He already had the one planned, the Son of God to come. He already had the redemption available for us. But he knew that if he did not interrupt eternal time, then we would never make it to be with him. For let there be lights and firmament in the heavens to give light to the earth and so on. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God set them. Oh, I love that. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So evening and the morning were the fourth day. See, God created right here the ability to govern your life. The ability for you and I to not live in mistakes. The ability for you and I to determine the exact harvest of life that we desire. God said this must be, or else there's no way for man to survive. You see, everything we do, and no one can escape this thing called time. Did you ever notice something? I don't, maybe you never noticed it before, but it's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Do you remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden? We all know the story. We all know what happened according to the scripture. Eve was beguiled. She ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She turned and handed it to Adam, and Adam ate of the tree as well. He was not beguiled. He made a willful choice to rebel against God. The enemy lied to them and said, well, I won't say lied. He told a half-truth. He only ever does tell half-truths. He said, you will not surely die. So they were expecting to die physically. But the truth was, not just physically did they die. Not just physically would they then enter into physical death. But also they lost a level of innocence, for at that point they would walk with God in the cool of the day, and there would never be a differentiation of whether time was going to constrain them or not. Even though there was the sun and the moon, even though there was day like we have, they were not constrained because they were still eternal beings. They were never designed to die. They were never designed to decompose, but their bodies were to live forever. But what occurred was, when sin came on the planet, we then found that the desecration then destroyed the eternal time clock, which man had lived within to that point, and God, by design, had created a timetable that now you and I can govern our time to make sure that our seeds of life are going to produce a harvest that we desire. Now, if you're not getting this, you need to move forward. You need to stay for the next service. The moment they sinned, something happened. We know their level of innocence was gone. They were to recognize that they were naked. So they were no longer innocent. What occurred at that moment, they went and hid themselves. We all know that then God called out in the day, where are you? It's not that God didn't know physically where they were, but he was crying out from his heart because now that one-on-one relationship with man had been breached. Sin destroys your relationship with God. Do not be deceived, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows to the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. Don't be deceived, because our life is time. And what we do with our time will determine our life. So if we choose to sin, we cannot be shocked. Listen, I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how much you say you love Jesus. If you are living in sin, you do not love Jesus. I'm sorry, it's in the Bible. If the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. If you say that you love me but do not keep my commandments, you're a liar, is what the scripture says in 1 John. We must wrap ourselves around the lies of this planet and say, God, your truth must reign. And the truth is that something happened that day in the garden that changed all of time. When the curse was set upon them, they were banished from where? The Garden of Eden. I want you to see something, because I want you to see how much God protects time. Verse 24 of Genesis chapter 3. He drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every which way, to guard the way to the tree of life. What does this mean? What is the tree of life? The tree of life is a different tree from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life we see next time in Revelation chapter 22, but we don't see it after this point until Revelation chapter 22. Why? Because what happens with the tree of life, when you eat the leaves, it heals the nations, which means it gives eternal life. The leaves of the tree of life are feeding for eternal time. So what occurs is the moment that sin came in, the moment that the curse was released, what happened? God started to protect the tree of life. Why? Because if man in their sinful state had laid hold of the tree of life at that moment with sin and innocence being gone, then they would have been damned for eternity. Their sin would not have been temporal. Their sin would have been eternal. Every one of us should be thanking God for time that we have. How many of you have ever sinned before? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many of you repented of that sin? If God had not changed time, you could not have repented. It would have been an eternal choice and mistake that you could never have come out of. So this thing we call time that literally governs every facet of our life is so powerful to us, but yet we take it for granted because we always think we have more time. Someone once said to me, well, you know, I want to get right with God, but I want to just live out my life now. I want to party now. I just want to hang out and have fun now. I'll get right later. Who says you have that time? We assume that we have time. How many of you have known somebody that died at a very young age? How many of you know babies that have passed away? We all know these kind of things. It is overwhelming. It is absurd. But the fact is that time runs your life. What's your birth date? A stamp of time. When you go to a graveyard, what do you see? The birth date and the death date. Both dates which declare the day and the time that they left this earth. With the 24 hours that we have every single day, it is amazing to me that, and this is what God's been working with me on. He's saying, listen, the clock never stops. It is constantly moving. It is never ending. It is never going to cease for you. It only stopped one time. Did you know that? God stopped time once. When was that? When they were fighting with Joshua. One time God stopped time till they won the war. And they can actually, in research, find that missing time. But we allow time to escape us every single day. There are people not here today because they're laying in bed. They're wasting their time. There are people. people today that are out partying. There are people today that are out working. They're wasting their time. Well, they've got to work. Oh, but they've got to work. Yes, yes, there's a time to work. And there's a time to plan. When we become people that are so governed by our time instead of governing our time, then we are at bay to whatever the world system would bring our way. Therefore, we cannot determine our harvest. That is called luck. How many people live by luck? You're just lucky. I'm not lucky. I plotted this. I'm not lucky. This is not accidental. This isn't just something that occurred. I planned this. How can you plan it? Because I can take my day and I can seed my day for the harvest that I want to receive. You see, you always seed for the harvest. You get the harvest first and then start seeding towards it. I don't know about you, but whether you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian, whether you're a believer or you're an unbeliever, this principle works because every single human on this planet has the same time. But the problem is, those who do not confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those that are not washed in the blood, when they get to the end of the natural time, they have no eternal time. Every one of us are owned by time. You know, there's two types of time. I'm almost done. You got linear, and you have eternal. The linear time is what you and I live in. Man, we live in this thing where you've just had, I know you had 30 minutes. Was it, how many minutes went by, Brother Kenny? 20 minutes went by because my time is over. I'm timed in this service. We live by this linear time. Some of you already have planned what you're going to do this afternoon. You're going to watch the Patriots win another. You have it planned. Hallelujah. But God works in a different time. And you see, we live in ignorance because we actually believe that we can live in eternal time and make God live in our linear time, and we can tell him what we want him to do for us. See, this 24 hours, whether you like it or not, it's going to come and it's going to go. You'll never have another opportunity to relive it. You can never have the next 24 hours back. You got up this morning, some of you slept 7, 10, some of you slept 2. But you slept some time away. Some of you have been living your life on borrowed time. But whether you recognize it or not, us in the view of time are very small. Especially when we start talking eternal time. I just want to show you real quick. The orange is you and I. I need my workers. Let's go. Quick, quick, quick. Quick, quick, quick. Come on, grab it. Just grab it and go. What a tangled web we weave. keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Watch now. In the space of time, this is only, come on now, only 100 feet of rope. And this is you and me. You see, we look at our lives and we waste our lives away because we think we have an enormous amount of time, when in reality, compared to even linear time, never mind eternal time, we are small and our span of life is small compared to... Yeah, we play with it. We don't take our life serious. We don't take our time serious. And the challenge is, if you're not taking your time serious, come on, some of you know, you remember when you were 30. You remember when you were 20. Remember when you were a teenager? I can't wait to get old enough to drive. You get your driver's license and your parents start making you drive to the supermarket. I hate driving. You're 20 years old, man. 24, you're out of college. And now you're paying your own stinking bills. You get married, and now you got a wife and the children and insurance and this and that. And all of a sudden, you blink again, and now your children are in high school. You blink again, and now your children are married. You blink again, now you're grandparents. You blink again, and now you're the one with the wrinkles and the gray hair. If you have any. Life is so short. Time is so short. Why do we not take time serious? Thank you. Can all just drop and go sit down? To realize that even when we're talking about seed time and harvest, that in God's design, every seed has a time ticking within it to produce a harvest. Even the seeds have been programmed with time. Yet so many of us just choose to live our life any way we want. And we say, you know what? God will just have to deal with it. Well, I'm sorry. He doesn't have to deal with it. I'm sorry. He won't deal with it. Well, I thought God was love. God is love. That's why he created linear time for you and I, so that eternally we'll have an opportunity to use our time for God. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. These that are of the Spirit will be led by the Holy Spirit. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're talking, folks, this is not about religiosity or Christianity, but this is about kingdom. We're talking about kingdom seed. And the greatest seed that you have is every day you wake up. But then what do you do with your life? And then all of a sudden, if you don't take a hold of this thing called time, you look back and you start living regret. I think that's one of the things that grabs a hold of me. As a pastor, one of the bad parts about being a pastor is you see a lot of lives. You know, a lot of people think, well, that's the best part. Not usually. You watch people that have divine design, which is everyone in this room. You watch people that love God, they start off, man, they get saved. I'm talking a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. But then over time, they grow cold to the Lord. And now their time is playing and meddling in sin and doing the things that God has called us not to do. Yet we live in a deduced intoxication that actually says, no matter what, I'm good with time because God's got to give me another chance. Now, let me tell you. This thing really bothers me. Because he's working on me far more than he's working on you. What are you doing with your time? You say you want a harvest in your life. You say you want specific results in your life. You ever seen parents who have children that are hellions? They never discipline them. They never correct them. They never give them direction. And then they get mad because someone says your kids are hellions. Why are the kids hellions? Because you did not seed your time into your family. You produced a harvest that you did not want. All of a sudden, someone dies. They live like hell. They step into eternity and they cry out for mercy. But they cannot cry out for mercy when temporary time is gone. For the decisions you make and the seeds you plant for eternity, once you step into them, can never be retracted. You see how horrible it is when we live with a shade over our heads? We live more by accident than by purpose. And we allow excuses to derail us from our harvest. Well, you know, you just don't understand, Pastor. I was molested when I was a child. There are people just like you who with the same 24 hours overcame it. But you don't understand, Pastor, I grew up in such poverty. There are people with the same 24 hours that have overcome poverty and now are rich. We can go through the list of stuff. We excuse ourselves. But the reality is, we actually get to live our harvest. It's eternal, and it's principle. What are you doing with your time? See, this morning you're in church. One of the greatest frustrations of every pastor is looking out and seeing empty seats. Knowing that they easily could be filled with just the people that call it their home. And we sit back as pastors and we try to deduce, we try to create ways. And I thank God for Pastor Dan. He's got a hard job. His job is to make sure that when you're gone 3 weeks, that you get a phone call. Well, you know, he called because he had to. Yes, that's right. He called you because he had to, because you do not take serious that your eternal time is longer than your temporary time. And he's trying to remind you to wake up. We should never need a Pastor Dan. Not that we don't love Pastor Dan. But we should never need a Pastor Dan. Because when you truly understand the weightiness of life, which is our time, which is timed, then we live life differently because we don't want to live accidentally. When we grab a hold of this, then when we get up in the morning, it is not, oh, I just need a cup of coffee. I'm up on the wrong side of the bed. Oh, my goodness, it's cold outside. You see, when you live by measured time, your world and circumstances do not dictate to you your harvest. Your harvest is dictated by your seed. Where are you placing your life? Where are you sowing your life? Well, I've been sowing and nothing's happening. Sometimes, because timing is in the seed itself, it takes a little bit longer for it to maturate, germinate, and then bring forth fruit. That's called faith. But if you never live and understand time in your life, then you will escape. You will escape time, in a sense, to where you will fool yourself to believe that you can do whatever you want, go wherever you want, act any way you want, be whatever you want to be, and not serve God, and still end up like all dogs go to heaven. It's not true. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. What are you doing with your time? Oh, the great conviction. I watched 1.5 John Wayne movies yesterday. I was convicted in the middle of the second one. And he said, what are you doing with your time? You're preaching this morning. What are you doing with your time? I'm watching a John Wayne movie. Can I hear an amen? But let's be honest. I was wasting time when I could have done something in some dimension, even a prayer. Maybe cracking the scriptures. Maybe listening. In fact, what I did was halfway through, I turned it to a preacher. And my daughter-in-law said, who's that? And I said, I don't know. He's from, I think he's Danish. Dutch. So we just listened to them for a little bit. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing when you leave here? What are you doing tomorrow? You see, I had you do a faith wall, which the majority of you did not do. Not the minority, the majority of you never did a faith wall. And you didn't do it because you did not take the time to. So therefore, the rest of your year has no aim. So now, now you are not governed by faith and by where you're aiming, but now you're governed by life. Not purpose, but luck. How will you live? How will you live your time? Because this week might be the end of your time. Today might be the end of your time. If today your name and your date gets written on a stone, can you say you lived your time with wisdom and revelation? Or did you live your life by happenstance and accident? We choose our harvest by the seeds we plant. Do you realize there were more millionaires created out of the Great Depression than at any other point in history? Here's one for you. Pastor Andrea told me this one. I didn't know it. She had a study done on millionaires, collected millionaires. Do you want to know? You ready? Taking millionaires, collected millionaires, putting them together in one community. Elmira's number 5 in the nation.
Well, our economy, well, everything is falling apart around us.
Whose reality do you live by? His or yours? Who governs your circumstances? Him or you? How do you choose to walk? By faith or by sight? How do you choose to plant your life? I've had people say to me, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. I've been offended. Fool. You're a fool. You're an absolute fool.
Because if you're sowing your life to make somebody else happy, you're a fool. For they can never reward you. But if you're sowing your life and your finances and every portion of who you are with understanding for him, one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. What are you doing with your time? This is just part one. Next part is next week. Some of you have heard enough and you're not going to be back next week. I'm sad for you. Because I need you to get this. Or we're just going to be another church. I refuse to be another church. We are the kingdom of God. We run by kingdom principles. We have kingdom vision. And you are kingdom people. And we must live kingdom keys to kingdom succeed. They're in your hands. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus today. Lord, I pray, God, to the best of my ability, for Holy Spirit, that you take the words that I've spoken, that you gave me in my heart, and that, God, you bring that wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. For without that, Holy Spirit, this is just a nice little talk. Open up our spirit that we may see how powerful our life may be. God, let us see the design, the program, the purpose that you have placed us here, the destiny and the reason that we weren't born in another segment of time, but in this one. The gifts that you gave us for this moment of time. The people surrounding us at this moment of time. Oh, Jesus. Please let us get this. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time, the acceptable year of the Lord. That's Luke chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said it. Now is the appointed time of salvation. Now, what is now? Now takes time and arrests it and says, this is my moment. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is your time. Today, if you're not right with God, you're not sure if you take your last breath whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. This is your time. Arrest it, own it, and make time work for you instead of you work for time. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to raise your hand up right now. If you're online right now, I want you to raise your hand as well. If you're in the room right now, if you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 1. The seriousness of time. There was a woman, an evangelist in the 1800s. Her name was Mary Woodworth. Etter. And those were the days when women were not allowed to preach. And a man got up one day out of her service because she was preaching, and he was mad. And he was walking out of the room. And the woman of God said, "Sir, if you walk out of this room, you'll be dead before you leave the church." He said his curse words and he walked out the front door and died on the front step from a heart attack. Another time a man did the same thing and she said, "Sir, eternity is beckoning you. This is your moment." And he decided to not listen and he walked out. And he was hit by a train on the way home. And time linear ceased for his life. Stop playing with time. It is your greatest seed. And it can also be the greatest curse. Father, I pray for every believer in the room. I pray in the name of Jesus that God, you'll stir our hearts, that we will truly understand the power that you have given us. Lord, you gave it to us as your sons and daughters to live this life on this earth for you. For it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. I pray in Jesus' name that revelation will explode within our spirit, that even today, God, you will speak to our heart, speak to our mind, that we may understand that every seed, every moment, every minute will produce a harvest. And we refuse to live accidentally. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Whew, I pray I really was able to convey that to you. It's a burden on my heart to be able to really help you understand. I'd like you to stand with me this morning. Father, release a blessing in the name of Jesus. God, that no sickness shall befall our house. That God will live in wisdom and revelation. That God, we will be people that will lead our friends and neighbors to Jesus Christ. That God will not be ashamed of the gospel, Lord, which is the power of God into salvation. Lord, use us to bring in a harvest. For you said, wise are those who bring in the harvest. So in Jesus' name, I release blessing over each one. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody receiving it said, we love you. Have an awesome week. Live your days on purpose.